Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today is our 1,000th show, so it's going to be festive. And we'd like to do something special. We'd like to try and describe the new life that we're talking about so that we could really start feeling what is that really good thing towards which we're headed. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, all throughout our shows, we're talking about the new life that we're headed toward from different aspects on different levels. And today, we'd like to talk about it a bit in general to feel where are all of us headed as a humanity? What's awaiting us? And throughout history, humanity went through big changes. A person that lived 100 or 500 years ago couldn't imagine the life that we'll live in our time. The technology we'll have, the interconnection between people. So there's a good chance that in the future will also change a lot, so much that it'll even be hard to imagine. And therefore, we'd like to try and depict this mutual future, this new life that we're headed for. What can you tell us about it? What will the new life be like? Just to tell. First of all, and we already talked about it on our previous shows, that we're in a special period in time, and the special thing about it is that there was never such a period in history before. We always say that, but this time, it's really so. Because our nature is ceasing to function. That the will to receive that is at the essence of human nature that always pushed us forward and more towards different achievements in different realms and in whatever a person's engaged in, industry, technology, education, whatnot, everything. The will to receive wants to swallow up everything, and suddenly we start feeling that it, as if, is quenching. We don't feel that it's burning anymore. The younger generations of X, Y, Z, I don't know how to call them, those that come after them, the new generations, but we can see that they really have a new perspective on life. They don't want the same values that we had, neither money nor even respect or the kind of rags we used to wear or a special haircut or earrings and tattoos that are becoming less and less popular. And the cigarettes with the special filling. In short, people see that from all these things that they went through, they did not receive something, some kind of fulfillment that really satisfied them in a real way for a long time. But like it always was. And as a result, we've reached a state of helplessness where we have nothing by what to fill ourselves. And this is something special. Because our nature, which is the will to receive, it's possible to give us endless fulfillments, and even if they're false, but if we do it through society, meaning that it's fashionable, that everyone looks and everyone wants, so I want it too. How can it be that I don't? And we see that this also doesn't work, even though that it's supposed to work. But our ego, at its essence, it stopped working as an egoistic social force, great, big, attracting, pushing force, pushing each and every person to be special, conspicuous, and so on. But why do I still see many people that are enjoying themselves and they have aspirations? Maybe this is only how it seems on the outside. I don't know, but still, this is what we identify according to the way people use the internet. Maybe we're talking about different ages here, because I'm talking about the ages of 20, suppose, and not 40. That there's a very big gap between these generations. This is what I wanted to say, that we're in a state in which despair is a serious plague, depression. Yeah, depression. And so on and so forth, which means that our ego doesn't give us fulfillment. And what's going to happen? And therefore, I'm saying that humanity is going through a very dramatic state here, where it's searching for fulfillment, because it can't exist without fulfillment. This is our essence. Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge. Even though that it's going on, it's present, but we're not in the same pursuit of these fulfillments. We're not looking at them as some kind of super achievement. And therefore, it seems to me that we're in a state of deep criticism, very sharp, very targeted, regarding what are we living for, meaning how can we fulfill ourselves, even this short life of ours, what do we fill it with? This is the feeling that's going to develop in the near future, so it seems. And so, I'm expecting a new life. What is this new life that's awaiting us? We always build our life according to our deficiency, according to what we want, to how we want for things to be. There were periods in which humanity was in pursuit of money, honor, control and power, science, technology, There were hundreds of years during which religion was in power, but no more. Now, as if things are on hold. It's not that things are calm. It's like it was in the Middle Ages. Things weren't calm or tranquil. But it was a period during which the potential force was working all the time, until it erupted into the new era of the Renaissance, and then into the era of science, and so on and so forth. And it seems to me that we're going back to such a period, but it's not going back. Because back then, we were searching for the kind of values that we can develop. And here, humanity doesn't see anything as valuable. There are many suicides. And this is how we are before the period of scrutiny and criticism called the recognition of evil, the absence, lack of purpose, the question of what are we living for, what is the meaning of life. And then as a result, we'll see. What will we choose? Sure, it's going to be a very interesting period. non-simple. It won't be short, because we have to scrutinize many things that are at the essence of our life. And the main thing is to acknowledge that the force that's leading us, the force of our ego that's developing and that's pushing us every time to achieve more and more achievements, so that force, it propels us towards something, but not something that we can perceive on the human level, but something that's maybe above it, where it's no longer enough for a person to attain that which is before him here in this world. He stopped appreciating it as something worthwhile investing my life in, and he doesn't know what he does want. Yes, man doesn't know what to invest himself in order to provide himself with a proper fulfillment for this short life of ours. And these are the times. So you said that it will be a long period of scrutiny. This is the time that we're in right now. We're on the verge of it. It's not that we're really in it already, because there's a big struggle here between the old generation, the social conventions, yeah, the media, the people that are really interested in enslaving the younger generation, giving them different definitions and limitations and goals. In short, psychologists and sociologists and so on are working on them, meaning regarding the career and work, that this is what your life should be about and so on. Yeah, and many people are looking for a new way. So when we look at this period of scrutiny, it's interesting, what will people choose? What are actually the options? There are no options. The option is that, were we really to discover that our life has special value, that, suppose, simply put, that it's worthwhile living, that each and every moment in life, I know where the North Star is, I know why and what for, that I don't just get married and have children and raise them and pay the mortgage and take 2 weeks off for vacation, meaning that I don't turn my life into the life of a donkey, that I have to work all the time in order to live, and I live in order to work. And here you also have the developing technology that relieves a person from taking care of his basic needs, and therefore, in the meantime, we're succeeding in building different imaginary things for people to be engaged in, as long as there's no unemployment, so people won't just be idle, because it's very dangerous if a person does nothing. We have millions of such people in the world that are doing nothing, and the numbers of unemployment are sometimes reaching 30 and 40% in certain countries, meaning all in all, there are many problems here that as if support each other. And there are also people that say that usually humanity solved these problems only by war. And this is a problem, that war in our times, we don't know whether we'll be able to limit it to a conventional war, for it not to turn into a nuclear war. So this is also a problem. A new life, for sure. The question is, what kind? What is the alternative that you're offering, Dr. Lightman, when you're talking about a new life that have a new value, that is worthwhile living? Essentially, how is it different that it gives a person a feeling that life's valuable and worthwhile living, that I want to jump out of bed in the morning. No doubt that if we're advancing in our inner development, we're looking forward, further into the future, with more critical eyes. And no doubt that a more developed person demands his life to be more useful, more beneficial. He can't agree with his life just passing him by. Our desire, our will to receive, is changing. If in the past I could sit and watch some soap opera, today I can't. Some musical, I can't. We're still being confused by these things, but they're no longer the fulfillment that society expects. Again, I'm talking about the younger generation, the 20-year-olds, the younger generation that I can see where they're headed. And therefore, nothing interests them. In the meantime, they're engaged in fulfilling, satisfying themselves. But also hardly, and it's also coming to an end, because on the inside, our will to receive is constantly developing. We're not like animals, that their desire remains the same as it was 1,000 years ago. We don't feel it, but we're changing all the time. We see that we're acquiring something new, and we look at what we had before as something old, no longer worthy of giving us pleasure, and so on. That the younger generation are even ashamed of touching those sources of pleasure that were acceptable to the previous generation. Who would nowadays be a fanatic fan of the ABBA band, for example, or other bands and so on? It all disappeared. We see that our desire to enjoy is changing, and as opposed to the way it changed previously, where instead of it came something new, today it no longer brings anything in exchange, but it asks a question. What can we enjoy? Is it an individual question that each person has to answer for himself? Everyone asks this question and doesn't know how to answer it. And therefore, I'm really content with this development, which is rapid on the one hand. On the other hand, we're in a state where we feel ourselves very much interconnected due to the new communication technologies and so on. And so what follows is that we have to understand that if there is some kind of change, then it has to be global, in nature, in character, in taste, in something. In short, in the values of the younger generation all over the world. That's something that's accepted nowadays, and it's very common. And this is what I think, that if we see that the younger generation is so interconnected, even though that there are different political and governmental organizations that want to divide them and turn them against each other, create some kind of polarization, But nonetheless, I think that they will understand that the world is becoming global, and if we have to change something, then it's on a global scale. Meaning that here there is a problem in changing human nature. What do you mean? Changing human nature, meaning that we will change ourselves. First of all, we'll scrutinize. What do we enjoy? What do we fill our life with? And when we'll see that each and every one of us enjoys the measure to which he rises above the others, then we'll understand that all this is merely a competition with a false outcome, that we get only a small egoistic pleasure out of it, which also disappears, leaving nothing of real value. And therefore, what I think is that eventually we'll decide that changing human nature from receiving pleasure at the expense of others to receiving pleasure together as a result of our connection, this is what will appeal to the younger generation. What does this kind of life look like in which our nature is different than what we have today? It's a life where we don't fight each other, but where we fight our inner egoistic character in order to rise above it and connect with one another. And this is what we're going to be doing? Yes. And what is it going to be like? That will feel all of us as one body, as one soul, as one desire, as one man, interconnected. And then when we'll feel this way, then we won't enjoy some temporary egoistic pleasure like we do today that comes as a result of putting someone beneath myself, and then they put me beneath them in this constant, tense, edgy competition. But to the contrary, through our connection, we generate a mutual desire, mutual thought, and what we enjoy is all the time supplementing each other. And then we have no problem, no limitation over the quantity and quality of pleasure that we can dwell in ceaselessly. You said that a person gets up in the morning and he sees the direction. Where does he have to go? What does he have to do? What is this feeling that a person gets up with? What's that star shining for him? The thing is that the things that we're engaged in egoistically, in a discreet manner, we all the time receive something and lose something, receive and lose. Whereas if we're talking about our connection, inside the connection, we can always receive without losing, and receiving more and adding, meaning the process is all the time positive. Instead of the egoistic process, which is always about ups and downs, I gain a bit, lose a bit, and so on and so forth. And so when I get up in the morning, or at any given moment that I awaken, I have the ability to add to that great big vessel, to that mutual feeling, and to live in it all the time, growing and adding to it. And this is a sense of an eternal life. We feel an eternal life. Because if it's not something that comes and stops and comes and stops, I as if feel my life not only in myself, but in everyone else, in all of humanity, together. And so what follows is that I live and others together with everyone else, all of us together in one feeling, in one mind, in one desire. And even when my body dies, I keep on living in that feeling and in that general memory. Meaning by this I have acquired a new eternal life. It's not possible to immediately digest this, but this is what I'm about to acquire. Sounds like a virtual kind of reality. Yeah, and therefore this is how we're developing nowadays in order to really bring ourselves closer to understand the state. How will this shift happen? Through the perception of man and the general desire that many people are connected to it, and their desire with their mind, wanting to support each other and to live together in one thought, one desire, and this is how they'll feel themselves, that they are a part of the same body, the body being the thought and the desire, not the physiological, protein, corporeal body. Looking at humanity, it's really various, many nations, opinions. What one thought will be able to bring all people together? A thought and desire to feel an eternal life in mutual supplementation. That's it. Do interesting things happen in this mutual realm? We really go out into a mutual realm that's unlimited. And we live in it. Are there many details there, many things that can satisfy a person? It's a different dimension that we can't really understand it right now. It's impossible. We have to start feeling what does it mean to live in connection. But according to the plan of nature, this is something that we have to come to. This is actually what our entire development is for. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.